Welcome to The Outfall, your portal to the untold stories of our water world and infrastructure. I'm your host, Robert Osborne, and in today's episode, we're thrilled to have Dr. Piers Clark. Wondering who Dr. Clark is? Well, he's not just any expert. He's a visionary founder and chairman of Isle Utilities, a trailblazing company dedicated to propelling the water sector into the future. Rewind to the first season of The Outfall. This is back in 2019. We had the privilege of talking with Piers. I remember stalking him right after our presentation at the AWWA National Conference. And despite our podcast infancy, I think we just had probably like three episodes under our belt. Dr. Clark generously shared his insights, turning our impromptu hallway interview into audio gold. I still remember him explaining the concept of unicorns in the water sector. And these are like the rare billion-dollar enterprises, and sharing his enthusiasm for transformative innovations like phosphorus recovery. Don't miss out on this gem. We'll link this past episode in our show notes for you. Fast forward to this fall, and we had the opportunity to talk again. In our latest conversation, Dr. Clark recounts the birth of the Water Action Platform during the pandemic and how it's grown.
So we formed the Water Action Platform. The Water Action Platform is now a monthly broadcast that covers all sorts of things. We've got something like 2,000 different organizations across 109 countries, and I'm astonished that we still get, you know, viewership goes up every month, even though, let's be honest, we're out of the pandemic now, and it's sitting watching a fairly technical broadcast for half an hour. It isn't something you would naturally choose to do. I mean, let's face it, this isn't TikTok, boring technical scientists and engineers talking about exciting things if you happen to be in the water sector. Anyway, so...
Somewhere in our conversation, Piers and I talked about ideas. He recently had one of those kind of like middle of the night epiphanies that compel you to wake up your spouse to share your brilliance. Now, I will say that sort of nighttime creativity has yet to bless me, but I live in hope. Piers' flash of inspiration concerned a novel approach to bridging the gap between water companies and tech innovators, making groundbreaking tech more accessible without the financial headaches. Let's dive into his story and see what inspiration struck under the moonlight.
While on holiday with my brother and his family, we were walking in the countryside in a place called the Yorkshire Moors up in the north of England. And it was the summer of 2021. And my brother's very senior in the renewable energy sector, and I'm sort of, I guess, relatively senior in the water sector. And it was the day that the first IPCC report came out that basically said the world's on fire and we've all got to do something about it. There have been two or three subsequent reports in the IPCC, and we all sort of put our fingers in our ears and go, la, 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 and ignore these reports that are basically saying, unless you do something now, the future generations have an almost impossible situation to cope with. And this report came out, and I was walking with my brother and his family, and we were sort of saying, yeah, this report's come out, and you know, we're senior in the industry and we feel helpless. How on earth does Joe Public feel about how they get their heads around the scale of this challenge? Anyway, that evening we were in an Italian restaurant, and I'm a two beers man, and I never drink coffee. And that night, for some reason, I had three beers. And when they came around offering coffee at the end of the meal, I was like, yeah, I'll have a coffee. And so that night, I was lying in bed with a little bit more alcohol and a lot more caffeine than normal coursing through my veins. And this idea came to me, the idea of something we now call the trial reservoir, came to me. I was so excited, I shook my wife awake and said, Star, I've had this brilliant idea. And to this day, she still doesn't show the level of excitement and interest that I have. But the idea was really simple. What we were going to do was set aside a pot of money that would fund trials on the understanding that if the trial meets its success criteria, the end user, be that a utility or an industrial corporate, will adopt the technology. And if they adopt the technology, then the tech company who's received the funding for the trial will pay back the money that it was originally given to do the trial, plus a little bit of interest. And so you've got this pot of money that can then flow out to fund trials, taking the risk away from the tech company and the end user. And then if the end, all we're banking on is, will the trial work or not? And so we do a bit of due diligence, but that's what our day job is. So if we can't get that right, then we don't deserve to be in business. So we're identifying technologies, we're backing them. If the trial works, then the technology gets adopted. So we break that process I just described to you of trial after trial after trial. You do trial that's carefully designed. It meets its KPIs and gets adopted, or it doesn't meet its KPIs, in which case it fails. And you know what? I'm the one who takes the risk. Or the trial reservoir takes a risk. It's called a reservoir because the money flows out to fund the trials. And then if they're successful, it flows back again. And it's this very simple concept that it spreads the risk. It makes it so that water utilities, who, let's face it, aren't supposed to be gambling public their customer money on trying out new technologies. Their job is to deliver a service to their customers. Their job is to provide, you know, keep the taps working and the toilets flushing, not to gamble on new technology. So it's quite right that they should take this sort of approach. What we're forcing them to do is rather than just do a trial because it's intellectually quite interesting, we're forcing them, before they even do the trial, to think really carefully about, so what do you want from this trial? What have you got to see from this trial? What KPIs have got to be met for you to be comfortable making a purchasing decision? Now, that flushes out some really interesting conversations, because some utilities go, actually, there's nothing you could possibly show us. No matter how good it is, we couldn't possibly buy. Well, actually, knowing that at the beginning of a trial is really important, because if I'm a tech company and I've got a utility that says, you know what, no matter how good this trial is, I'm not going to buy from you, then I'm not going to waste any more time working with you. I'm going to go and find someone who is going to reciprocate the effort that I put in with some sort of downstream reward. So the trial reservoir was launched in November 2022, about 3 months after I'd been on this holiday and had this epiphany moment. It took a while to test it out and sort out the legals and design the loan agreements and all of that stuff. And I managed to persuade my shareholders. I took this idea to my shareholders and said, you know what, here's the idea. And they went, yeah, okay, I get it. I said, the one problem is we need to have this pot of money. And they're like, yeah, yeah, what's your ideas? And I said, well, I'm thinking that we should put a quarter of our profits into this trial reservoir pot. And I honestly expected them to sort of laugh in my face. And they went, yeah, you know what, I think that's a really good idea. Yeah, we should do that. Yeah, it's not bad, is it? It's pretty impressive. All credit to them. So we've got this pot of money. We've done that for 2 years in a row. So, we've put just short of £1 million into the, about $1.5 million into the pot. And then we've got a whole bunch of sponsors who now also participate. It's not a fund, so you can't put your money in and then get a return. This is a sort of philanthropic pot of money that has been set aside and will keep being used until it runs out. Now, at the moment, the pot is actually growing because we're backing more trials that work than trials that fail. And I do worry about that sometimes, because I find myself thinking, well, if every trial we back works, not that I want to back lots of trials that are going to fail, but equally, if everything we do works really well, it would sort of highlight that we could be more ambitious. We launched this, it's called the Trial Reservoir. We launched it in November 2021. It's been running now for whatever that is, 18 months. We've got trials in developing countries, low income, high income, medium income countries. We've got a pipeline of something like 130 trials. We've got a series of sponsors. We've got a dedicated Latin American pot of money because the IADB thought it was such a good, the Inter-American Development Bank thought it was such a good idea that they wanted to have their own little fund. We've got a similar one in the Middle East. We've got the energy sector. We've got an energy sector reservoir. They hate the idea of reservoir. So we're toying with what, we seem to be spending a lot of time talking about what could the energy reservoir be called. which feels like that might be the wrong thing to be discussing. You know, it's better than calling it a fund because it is not a fund. And it's not a grant because, you know, the money is given as a soft loan, basically, an unsecured loan. So we'll see. And that's something that I'm 53. So I've probably got another 15 years of useful life left in front of me, you know, career-wise. And I would love to spend it making something like making that, because I think the trial reservoir concept, this idea of we're only going to do a trial if we know what the KPIs are that matter to us, and that if we meet those KPIs, we're going to buy the technology. And I think that simple shift in mindset for water utilities could radically change how we deal with some of the challenges in front of us, be that PFAS, microplastics, climate change, phosphorus depletion, non-revenue water, you know, all of those things. Every problem you think about, and every time we trial something, if we put it into the context of, well, why am I doing this trial, and what am I going to do if the results come through in the way that I hope they are? What's my next step? Because I just don't think we think about that.
A huge thanks to Dr. Piers Clark for joining us and sharing his latest adventures, including his groundbreaking trial reservoir concept he's bringing to life. I love his infectious enthusiasm and his boundary-pushing vision. You know, this trial reservoir flips the script on technological adoption in the water sector, potentially tearing down some economic barriers and aligning incentives around actual outcomes, which, you know, this could accelerate the implementation of solutions that are already promising while spurring bolder innovation. So stay curious, friends. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts and check out our show notes. The ripples from his late night lightning bolt are just beginning, and we can't wait to check back in a couple years. Until next time, here's to big thinking and its incredible power to transform.
Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them, because they change things. They push the human race forward. While some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.